Word Radio On Demand, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD. Streaming live at wordradio.com.
I want to introduce you to someone who is going to give us some insight into a fantastic African-American woman, because after all, it is Women's History Month. And we've got a woman here who is herself representative of making history. She is author and writer Valerie Harris, and she is working on a biography of someone very special she's going to tell us about. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. I hope you guys don't hear the jackhammering from Philadelphia Water Company outside my door.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but hopefully it's preventing you from getting any kind of water main breaks or anything like that. I know you hate when those guys are out there, but at the same time, it's good to have them there before something happens, right? Yeah. So Laura Wheeler Waring, she is someone that you are working on a biography about. Tell us about her, her life, and why this is someone who you got interested in enough to do a biography?
Well, the cultural contributions of African Americans to this country is vast and diverse, and specifically in Philadelphia. Laura Wheeler Waring was an artist who, although she was born in Connecticut in 1887, she came to Philadelphia at the age of 20. To teach art at Cheney, which was then called the Institute for Colored Youth. And she was there for 40 years. Yet her primary goal to come to Philadelphia was to study art at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. So she made an exemplary career at Cheney. And at the same time, she painted watercolors, portraits, still lives. She was a cultural mainstay in Philadelphia in the 30s and 40s, and she really made this city her home.
Now, she also received kind of a permanent honor here in Philadelphia, and most people probably pass it by and don't even realize.
Yes, the school at 18th and Fairmount is named after Laura Wheeler Waring, and it happened because really from the efforts of a former student of hers, a gentleman named Mr. Milton James, who was a resident of Darby. And when Wheeler died in 1948, Mr. James was instrumental in keeping her legacy alive. And when there were new schools being built in Philadelphia, he lobbied the Philadelphia Board of Education with support from the National Council of Negro Women to name this school, at least one of these new schools they were building, after Laura Wheeler Waring. And his reasoning was because he felt that she had taught thousands of students who became teachers and taught across the country. And she also served on so many educational committees in Pennsylvania on behalf of teachers and public school youth. So after all his efforts, in February of 1957, the school was still under construction, but the school board announced that they would indeed name this school after Laura Wheeler Waring. And she was the first African-American woman to be so honored by the Philadelphia Board of Education.
So now when you pass by the school, you know who it was named after. And that is an amazing honor to have a building named after you. But she also, aside from being an educator, was a really amazing artist. I took a look at some of the portraits and things that she did. And she is in fact part of an exhibit going on right now.
Oh, yeah. She is part of an exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York that's currently up. And it is revisiting some of the Harlem Renaissance era artists who they feel had been overlooked or some of their paintings had been missed. But in Washington, D.C., at the Smithsonian, You can also see a lot of Laura Wheeler Waring paintings at the National Portrait Gallery and the Gallery of American Art. She is very well represented in our National Archive of Painters.
Now, if you're just tuning in, I am talking to Valerie Harris, the author and writer who is working on a biography of Laura Wheeler Waring. She is a portrait artist from Philadelphia. So she specialized in portraiture and she painted some of the prominent people of that time. But she also worked with a magazine. What did she do for them?
Well, this is why I say I liken Laura Wheeler Waring to some of our contemporary professionals, because she really bought into side hustle culture. And I don't know whether she considered teaching the side hustle or painting the side hustle, but she definitely considered magazine illustration a side hustle. And she submitted illustrations to the NAACP's magazine, which was called and still is called The Crises. And there's numerous communications between Laura and W.E.B. Du Bois, who was the editor of The Crises. There's numerous communications from her to him saying, look, I need to be paid. You didn't pay me for the last one. I'm still waiting for a payment for the last one. Now you're asking me for a new one. And I think that all of contemporary professionals who do a little moonlighting and side hustling can relate to that when you're going after the people you're consulting with and saying, hey, when you gonna pay me?
Right, because she was doing the work. She was providing illustrations for The Crises. So it is, I think that's kind of funny because I'm saying Black women ain't changed. We still trying to get paid to this day. What was it about her career that interested in her life that interested you and made you want to become her biographer?
Well, I went to Cheney. And when I went to Cheney, Laura Wheeler Waring's paintings hung in the library. And we thought nothing of it. Like, I took art classes there with three different gentlemen. They never mentioned her. And so I'm only remembering in hindsight that the paintings were already in the library at Cheney, some of her paintings. But then I was researching another project and I came across an academic paper about Laura Wheeler Waring, and the writer concluded that Laura Wheeler Waring lacked ambition and implied that she hid out at Cheney for 40 years teaching because she didn't want to really compete in the art world. And that summary did not sit right with me. I said, how could someone lack ambition if they're teaching, which is an honorable profession, and they're also painting and they're in these exhibitions and they got to run up to Washington, run to Baltimore, wherever they were showing her paintings, and she was trying to be there. So that made me curious about this woman. And I said, I have to find out for myself. You can't believe everything you read in these papers. So I had to go see for myself. And that's what led me down the Laura Wheeler Waring research rabbit hole. That's how I got started, trying to find out, why did this writer say that she lacked ambition?
So when can we expect to see a book?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I have talked to several literary agents of the other persuasion, and they have advised me that there's not enough reader interest in a person like Laura Wheeler Waring. But I'm skeptical of that too. So what I've done is I've started putting, I created a Laura Wheeler Waring blog, and I am doing almost what you might call a serial biography at the Laura Wheeler Waring blog, which is accessed at www.theharriswrites.com. And you can go there and subscribe to the blog And I'll give you bits and bits of her biography. Not everything, but enough to get you interested and to see if there are people interested in learning more about this woman's extraordinary life.
Well, it sounds just as Laura Wheeler Waring had to do, that you are finding a way to make it happen. Valerie Harris, thank you so much for being with us on Reality Check today. And it is Valerie, that's V-A-L-E-R-I-E, Harris. Writes.com, where you can find
it's
more.
V. Harris Writes.com.
So you don't even have to spell out the Valerie, just V. Harris Writes.com. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tanya. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Word Radio On Demand.
Listen live at 96.1 FM, 900 AM, and online at wordradio.com.